Let's start with sports, because there were two genuinely good stories this weekend. Wyndham Clark won his second U.S. Open, surviving what the reporting describes as a late collapse that could easily have cost him the title. Clark won his first U.S. Open at Los Angeles Country Club in 2023, so this second win establishes him as a legitimate major champion rather than a one-time breakthrough. The U.S. Open is particularly demanding precisely because USGA course setup is designed to punish errors that other major venues might forgive. Winning twice in 3 years at that level of difficulty is a real resume.
And Justin Gaethje, who won the UFC lightweight title at UFC Freedom 250, which was held at the White House, which is something I'm still processing as a venue choice, says he intends to keep defending the title. Gaethje's upset over Ilia Topuria was one of the more stunning results in recent UFC history. Topuria had been considered nearly unbeatable after his performance at featherweight, and Gaethje, who had suffered back-to-back losses before the fight, was not widely expected to win. His post-fight declaration that he plans to stay active and defend the belt is consistent with his style. Gaethje has never been someone who rests on results.
On the entertainment front, House of the Dragon's third season premiere did not ease viewers in gently. Killing off Jace, Prince Jacaerys Velaryon, one of the more sympathetic characters in the Dance of the Dragons, in the premiere episode is a statement of intent. And the Aemond-Alicent kiss generated the kind of reaction that tends to dominate entertainment media for a week. The show has consistently been willing to go to places that make audiences deeply uncomfortable, and this premiere appears to be doubling down on that approach.
The Dutton Ranch cast anxiety story is also worth a brief mention. Cast members apparently living in fear of being killed off. This is partly a testament to how the Taylor Sheridan universe has evolved its relationship with audience expectations. After Yellowstone's willingness to kill major characters, no one working on any Sheridan production feels safe. And that genuine uncertainty among the cast is actually good for storytelling because it makes performances feel less protected.
GTA 6 pre-orders opening Wednesday with a November 19th release date is a commercial event that will likely generate more first-day pre-order revenue than most films earn in their entire theatrical runs. The European retailer price leak of €89.99 for the standard edition, roughly equivalent to about US$95, confirms that Rockstar is pricing at a premium above the standard $60 baseline that held for most of the previous console generation. If that price point holds in the US, it'll be a conversation about game pricing that the industry has been having for years, finally reaching a practical test.
And Halo Studios reversing the PS Plus requirement for PS5 split-screen co-op is one of those policy reversals that gaming communities celebrate. But that actually reveals something about how subscription models create unintended friction. The original decision to require an active PS Plus subscription for a local co-op feature where both players are physically in the same room drew immediate backlash because it felt like the subscription paywall was being inserted into a social experience that had nothing to do with online services.
Now, let's close this segment with something I think is genuinely worth interrogating. Our what if we're wrong discussion. The most confident claim circulating in financial and technology media right now is that the AI infrastructure build-out represents durable, compounding value creation that will generate returns for investors over a multi-year horizon. Jim Chanos is pushing back, comparing it to dot-com era infrastructure, but the consensus from Goldman Sachs to Morgan Stanley to most independent analysts is that AI is different because the enterprise productivity gains are real and measurable in ways that 1999 internet projections were not.
So what if that consensus is wrong? Let me play this out. The argument for durable AI value rests on two assumptions. First, that enterprise adoption of AI tools will translate into productivity gains large enough to justify the capital expenditure. Second, that the companies currently at the frontier maintain enough of a competitive moat that the revenue accrues to them rather than to competitors offering equivalent capability at lower cost. GLM-5.2 scoring above all Google models on a major benchmark as an open weights model directly challenges the second assumption. If open source models catch up to frontier closed models within 1 to 2 years, the pricing power that justifies current cloud AI margins evaporates.
And the first assumption, productivity gains, is also more contested than the consensus suggests. There are real productivity gains from AI coding assistance, document drafting, and customer service automation. But enterprise procurement cycles are long, change management is slow, and the productivity gains from AI in, say, legal services or healthcare may accrue to the clients who deploy the tools rather than to the AI vendors who sell them. The productivity gain doesn't automatically translate into AI company profit if competition keeps pricing low.
So here's the specific counter scenario. 2 years from now, open weights models are within 5 percentage points of frontier closed models on most enterprise benchmarks. Cloud AI API margins compress sharply as competition intensifies. The depreciation wave Chanos is describing hits the balance sheets of the major data center builders. And enterprise customers, who adopted AI tools eagerly, find that the productivity gains accrue primarily to their own margins, rather than translating into higher AI subscription spending. The result is a correction in AI company valuations that looks less like dot-com collapse and more like the mobile gaming correction of 2021 to 2022. Not catastrophic, but a significant repricing downward.
What to watch for if this scenario is developing? Look at Azure, Google Cloud, and AWS quarterly earnings for any sign that AI API revenue growth is decelerating while capital expenditure commitments remain fixed. If you see revenue growth dropping below 30% year over year in those segments, while CapEx holds above $50 billion annually, that's the signal that the depreciation math Chanos is describing is becoming a near-term earnings problem. Watch those next two quarterly earnings calls very carefully.